This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. All right, so it's not necessarily any of my business, but how you feeling? I ask because, as Heather and Anna and I were talking about, the job market is still really healthy. The economy is growing, respectably. Inflation is down and falling, all of which put the United States in a stronger economic position than every other developed economy on the planet. Thing is, those numbers, and maybe most particularly GDP, economic growth, don't tell you how people actually feel. Regular listeners to this program know that I'm a history guy, so I'm going to tell you a little history now about gross domestic product, and we start back in the 1930s.
The close of an era. The great big spree, the jazz age, is over. All over.
That's from a documentary called Life in the 30s.
Depression.
Unemployment hit 24.9%. Back then, though, the government didn't really publish economic data like it does today. And that made it hard to gauge just how far the economy had fallen or what the path to recovery might be. So enter gross domestic product.
Now every train to Washington brings its cargo of experts to join the great assault on the Depression. Economists, sociologists, statisticians, agronomists, idealists.
In 1932, the Department of Commerce started working on a new way to measure the economy that would eventually become GDP. An economist named Simon Kuznets was in charge, and by 1936, Franklin Roosevelt was using his figures in the State of the Union.
Restoration of national income, which shows continuing gains for the third successive year.
That might not seem like a big deal today, but at the time, very nearly revolutionary. Policymakers now had a single number they could use to sum up a country's economy. And then a decade later,
at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, delegates from 44 allied and associate countries arrived for the opening of the United
GDP became the standard measuring tool for economies around the world.
These meetings are designed to promote trade in the post-war world.
Kuznets later won a Nobel Prize in part for his work on measuring national economies. But economists have long realized that GDP has its limits, Kuznets among them. He wrote when he first presented his data to Congress, here's the quote, "The welfare of a nation can scarcely be inferred from a measure of national income." So GDP can tell you the dollar value of all the goods and services a country produces, but there's a lot it doesn't include: unpaid household work, for instance, or the value of skills that workers learn, or, most fundamentally, how people actually feel. That's why there's a movement now to find ways of measuring the economy that go beyond GDP.
The U.S. is pretty behind.
Amanda Janu is the economic and policy lead for a group called the Well-Being Economy Alliance. That's more than 400 organizations around the world pushing to change the paradigm of how economies are measured.
I fully believe we have the statistical capacities to do it. But I think the point is just to be clear on where are we trying to go and what are we trying to achieve as people.
There are countries that are trying different things. Canada has developed a quality of life framework based on 84 key metrics of well-being. They include stuff like job satisfaction and trust in others.
And then a new budgeting system where there's allocating spending according to impact in those well-being domains.
Of course, not every country is going to measure well-being the same way.
I'm Steve Landefeld, former director of the Bureau of Economic Analysis.
The Bureau of Economic Analysis is whence GDP data comes. Steve Landefeld ran it for almost 20 years, and he has been thinking about this problem since the beginning of his career.
And it was a hot topic back then in the 1970s.
It's an even hotter topic now.
From all directions, the keepers of the GDP have had pressure to change GDP from this measure of the market economy to one that measures economic welfare.
In 2020, the BEA started publishing a dashboard of what they call prototype statistics aimed at measuring economic well-being and growth.
What we're proposing is a set of supplementary accounts, but the core GDP remains untouched.
One of the reasons GDP is so useful is that it's been around for such a long time. It is consistent.
We propose that you add on the missing pieces. Add an estimate of human capital as a one-off set of accounts on one side. Add something on household production. Add something on global supply chains. But you don't clutter up GDP.
Change is hard, I know, but it does help to remember that GDP itself was a new concept once, too. Thanks again to Steve Landefeld. He's the former director of the BEA, Amanda Janu, as well at the Wellbeing Economy Alliance.